The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If Old Testament believers were not continuously indwelt by the Holy Spirit, was their eternal salvation also not continuous? In response to a question from a listener like you today, we will be thinking about the Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. We are the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas, and you can find out more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. We have lots of resources there for you, including free ebooks and hundreds of articles relating to free grace and how we believe. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Philippe, you have a question from Cole that's a very good one, and it's one that a lot of us have wondered about ourselves. It's about the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and a particular person associated.
King Saul, right?
King Saul. So Cole says, I was reading 1 Samuel, and a question arose. It appears that believers in the Old Testament could lose the Holy Spirit like Saul did. Does this mean that they lost their salvation? So we can begin, first of all, with Saul coming to believe.
Right.
And we're given an indication of that in 1 Samuel chapter 10.
Okay.
When Saul has met with Samuel, the prophet, and Samuel anoints him and then tells him a number of signs that are going to follow. And one of them will be that he will encounter a group of prophets prophesying.
Right.
But he said to Saul, you're going to become another man.
And then, that's a reference to regeneration, then?
Right.
He would be born again.
Yes, that's a reference to regeneration in the Old Testament. And then so it was, we're told in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 10, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. Again, you will become another man, and here God gave him another heart.
Which is an indication that he's the new man.
Yes, that he's a new man, the regeneration, or he will soon be, perhaps.
Yeah, you said this might be proleptic.
This might be proleptic to what will immediately happen in the hours.
When he meets the prophet.
When he meets the prophets. So he goes up the hill, and there are a group of prophets meet him. And it says, then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And so there's this group of prophets, you know, that come from worship and all, and they're prophesying.
About what?
About what?
Yeah.
They were singing, prophesying, much like we might after we go to worship and we keep on singing the songs we hear,
right.
We heard, and they're concerning Christ and what he did. So they were prophesying, I think, about the hope of Israel, about the Messiah, you know, promised the seed. And so Saul hears all of that. And he joins them.
And he comes to faith.
And he's given another heart.
Yeah.
You know, he becomes a new man. So I think it's clear that Saul was a believer
and was regenerated. And that's 1 Samuel 10?
That's 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, in reference to what Cole refers to, we come to 1 Samuel 15. Saul initially does well. I mean, he's a humble man. And there are people, even after Samuel introduces him as the king that God has chosen,
right.
A lot of the people affirm that, but there's some that say, no, we don't want this man. And so later on, Saul would be merciful towards them. He's given the opportunity to put them to death, and he refuses, you know, to do that. And when the need arises, he rises up and he's a military leader, gains a great victory, and he gives credit to Yahweh for that. He does not take credit off it for himself. So that's the high point. You know, he's doing well. But then there are a series of disobedience first to Samuel, to what Samuel had said, and then to what God had said about the Amalekites. He does not obey. So the kingdom then is taken away.
He didn't slay everything. He kept the animals.
Right.
Claiming.
And he kept Agag alive, who was the king of the Amalekites.
And he was supposed to slay him.
Right. So he's disobedient, but he makes excuses. And also God says, okay, this is it. The kingdom, it's taken away from you and be given to another man.
To David.
To David.
Yeah.
And then we're told in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, and this is what Cole refers to, that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul in a distressing spirit, you know,
oh,
came
I see.
Upon him.
So the way he's thinking, or at least what he's wondering is, if he's born again when the Spirit comes upon him, yeah. is he unborn again when the Spirit leaves him?
Right. But, you know, we're told that he became another man who was given another heart. So he's regenerated. You know, man,
right.
that does not cease, you know, for him. But we ask, you know, the time the Holy Spirit came upon certain people for special acts of service or warfare and special empowerment, giving them to for a period of time. And sometimes that's in case of Saul and later with David as king, you know, that could continue on as long as they are, you know, obedient. But if they're disobedient, it could be a possibility that the Spirit will no longer empower them for their tasks.
Yeah. So in other words, okay, he's born again when he believes and he's given a new heart. He's a new man. But the Spirit coming upon him is not the same as his being born again.
Right.
This is special enablement. Like we see in the book of Acts, they're all together in one room. The Spirit fills them and they're speaking with the word with boldness. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that in certain places in the book of Acts.
And Acts 1:8, you know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses.
Yeah.
And that's to the apostles,
yeah.
to their task. So David himself later on, you know, after his sin with Bathsheba and concerning Uriah, in the Psalm 51, he expresses, you know, the request, do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Because he knew from Saul's experience that was possible.
Right. But David wouldn't cease to have everlasting life. Either.
Yeah, and I think, Cole, it's important to recognize that in the New Testament era, we have the promise of permanent indwelling.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org.
And I think, Cole, it's important to recognize that in the New Testament era, we have the promise of permanent indwelling.
Yes.
The moment we're born again, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and it's permanent. They did not have that promise in the Old Testament. They didn't even have that promise during the ministry of Jesus. That's yeah. still an Old Testament time. In fact, Jesus says the Holy Spirit to the 12, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he mm-hmm. will be in you.
Yeah.
So that after he dies and ascends to heaven, then when the Spirit falls on Pentecost, now they're permanently indwelled. I like to remember it with the word ribs. Ribs is regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, sealing. Well, in the Old Testament, Saul was regenerated and sealed. He was temporarily indwelt, but not permanently indwelt. And he was not baptized into the body of Christ because the church didn't exist yet. And in Acts 2:36, they believe. So they're born again, they're regenerated and sealed. But they're not yet indwelt, and they're not yet baptized into the body of Christ.
For that transitional time, you know,
right.
with the Jewish people, with the Samaritans, you know, as
in
well.
Acts 8.
In Acts 8, you know,
they have to lay hands on them.
The two of the apostles came up, I think Peter and
John,
and laid hands upon them, and then that occurred, but they had believed.
But they already
again. They were regenerated.
And they were even already water baptized by Philip the evangelist.
Yeah.
So they were regenerated and sealed. So we need to recognize, Cole, that regeneration and sealing are independent of indwelling, especially in the Old Testament when there was no permanent indwelling. And you're even saying, Philippe, I'd not heard this before, but I kind of like it, that this is more like indwelling for special service.
Yes, like the Spirit came upon Samson and other judges, you know, too, for their special acts, you know, they had to do. Leaders and
but that wasn't necessarily permanent.
Right. And for Saul it was to rule as king. But when he was disqualified from that, then the Holy Spirit left. And then a distressing spirit came upon him, which will occasionally leave as well with the playing of David, you know, of the harp and all.
Yeah, so I think it is important to recognize that once saved, always saved didn't start being true in John 3:16.
Right.
It didn't start being true with the ministry of Jesus. It's been true since the Garden of Eden, although it's not till we get to Genesis 3:15, but just before they get kicked out of the garden, by the way, that they're given the first gospel, that the seed of the woman is going to destroy the seed of the serpent, but the seed of the serpent is going to strike the seed of the woman on the heel.
Right. And the context, of course, is death.
Too. Right.
And an implication that the seed will bring about life.
Which
ultimately
is the Messiah, right?
The Messiah, yes.
So the seed of the woman is the Messiah. The seed of the serpent is Satan. And ultimately, the cross was both the place where Satan struck Jesus on the heel and where Jesus stomped Satan on the head, right?
Yes.
And ultimately, the cross was both a defeat and a victory at the same time.
Yeah.
It was really a defeat, not of Jesus, but of Satan.
Why the ruler, as Jesus says, the ruler of this world is cast out.
And Jesus was victorious. Because he came to do this. And at the end, he says, it is finished. He had finished the work the Father gave him to do. One of the things, remember in John 6:39 and 40, that the Father gave him, that of all who come to me, I'll never cast them out.
Yeah,
and then he says in verse 40, it's the will of the Father that all he gives me has everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. And that's all, by the way, before the birth of the church. That's still Old Testament.
And we know that refers to such as Saul, you know, who believe, and later on with Daniel, who will be raised up for his role in the kingdom in the last day. So we have all those indicators of those who believe were regenerated and will never lose the life.
And by the way, the doctrine of eternal rewards is found in the Old Testament too. So that when Saul goes through these major failures in his life, that is going to negatively impact his eternal rewards, but not his eternal destiny.
Yes.
He was faithful at the beginning.
And he always wanted a word from God.
Even when he goes to the witch at Endor.
Right.
And even at the very end of his life, he didn't become an idolater. He still believed in the Lord and the coming of the Lord. And so not only did he probably lay up lots of treasure in heaven, Matthew 6:19-21, but he might be one who will rule in the life to come, maybe only a little city, but we're not sure. But it appears it's possible he died as someone who was still professing his faith in the Lord.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. And remember, keep
grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, if justification is through faith, what about sanctification? Please join us for that, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.